All right, it's good to be in the Lord's house this morning. I don't get to say that a whole lot considering my work schedule and everything, but I do know that sometimes there's some times you get to be in a workplace. Sometimes God sets some people there in front of you with you of like mind that you can have a little bit of some fellowship there and touch of God there as well. I do believe it's the will of God for a man to work. I'm thankful God gave me a job in this day where a lot of people don't have one. Although I do, I really do, I miss being in the house of God on the days I'm working. I just pray and ask the Lord to help me, and I do pray and ask you to pray with me, and God bring some things come to pass. The Lord knows that I need to be here. But this morning, if you will, join with me in the Word of God in the book of Psalms, chapter number 1, Psalms. Chapter number 1. I've been kind of thinking and meditating on the scripture a little bit here in Psalms 1. You've got clearly two men, two ways here in Psalms chapter number 1. And then these verses here, there's two ways a man can be. There's two descriptions of individuals, one being a righteous man and the other being an ungodly man, a sinner. Here in verse number 1, it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." But not only do you see here in this scripture the two different ways, two different people, but you also see two different ends. So in short, this scripture here is also saying that you are either in God's way or in your way. God's way is the righteous way, the holy way, the only way to life and life everlasting. But the way of the sinner, the way of the unrighteous, the way of them that are in the flesh, that are walking in the flesh, never been born again, never had life, that way is death. And the end thereof is truly something we ought to be really praying about in this hour. Because there's a lot of people that's walking in that way. There's a lot of people who's deceived in this world, and there's a lot of people who have no idea of the righteous way, the godly way, the holy way. And that's where we come in our life. We ought to really be thinking about here in the scripture how it says a man ought to be. It says here in verse number 1, it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Now, I really look at this first verse here. It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." I want to ask you, who do you go to for counsel? Who do you look to if you have a problem? Who do you go to if you have a burning, earnest desire to see something come to pass, or if you have a need that needs to be met, or if you have a loved one that really needs to be saved? Who do you go to in those instances that those needs need to be met, those things need to come to pass, those things need to happen in life? Because if I'm reading this clearly here, it says, "Blessed the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." I mean, this means you're not going to go down here to the city council, so to speak, and ask them, "Hey, what do I need to do here?" You're not going to go down here to the doctor and ask them, "Hey, what do I need to do here?" The psychologist, so to speak. You're not going to go up here to Joe Blow that's up here on the street corner that's had such a great life, that's got this great big house, all these money, materials, and all these things have been given to him. You're not going to go to him. You're not going to go to this person down the road that's had such a great life, so to speak. They enjoy everything they do on the weekend. They go out here boating. They go out here on the river. They go fishing. They go hunting. They go to the ballpark where they go do whatever they want to do. You're not going to go to them and ask them, hey, what am I going to do? Seems to me this is a picture here of a personal, a one-on-one man right here. A person that's going to seek after that which is right and which is holy. Seems to me that that's the only way a man's ever going to really be blessed is if they seek the counsel of those things that are holy. Because in my experience and in what I've come to know in reading in Scripture and what I've come also to know, according to the man of God standing and preaching and seeing all those other men of God has come and gone, has preached and stood right and done right and lived right, all them, I can see one thing, one attribute, one thing that stands apart from in them that's from the world. And that's God. That's the one thing. That's their counsel. That's the one they go to. That's the one they lean on. That's what we sing about up here, you know, leaning on the everlasting arms. That's the only way we're ever really going to have a blessing. It's to be able to go to God in prayer and seek Him and devote ourselves to Him and really diligently seek Him. There's a blessing in that. Granted, sometimes that's a hard thing to do. You know, you got the TV clicker in your hand. You want to sit there and you want to watch your program or do whatever you want to do. You listen to your program on the radio, or you got a book you want to read about, or you got the newspaper there. You got things you got to do. Yet all these things are swirling around inside you. You ain't got no idea. Well, I got all this I got to do. If it's that important, if that means that much to you, wouldn't it be a good blessing to stop for a minute and just seek the counsel and the touch and the hand of God? We come into the church house on numerous occasions. I've heard numerous times people say, "Well, I'd like to see God move in the service this morning. I really would. I'd love to see God move. I desire revival in the house of God." But barely ever do we really break down and really seek the counsel of the one who can provide it. Very rarely do we do that, although we ought to be. You know, sometimes I wonder how things are going to come to pass. How am I going to meet the needs of our home? How am I going to get all this accomplished? Because I can't do it. But it seems to me, according to what the Scripture, and just this one line here, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That seems pretty clear to me. I ought to go to the one that is godly, that is holy, that is all-knowing, that is righteous above all things. Nor standeth in the way of the sinner. You know, I've come to also know that narrow is the way that leads unto life. And a lot of people look at us today and say, well, you're just narrow-minded. Well, the Word of God is pretty narrow. That's why Scripture, if I'm correct in saying so, correct me if I'm wrong, but I've read it numerous times. I am the way, the truth, the life. That's kind of a singular way.
Yes.
That seems to me, whenever it says, I am the way, that seems like a narrow kind of way. But guess what? How often can you walk out these doors and see on the newspapers or see such and such on street corners us talking, say, yeah, I know all about God. I know God. I go to this church down here. Well, that's great and all. You go to church, but do you really know the one that can get you to an eternal life? Can give you these things? Or are you just still in that sinner's way? That's all we see out here. We can walk out the door and just stand there on the front porch of this church house and see nothing but a sinner's way. Or standeth not in the way of the sinners. That means I've got to be the direct opposite of what the sinners are. Because guess what? That's what I am. I am a sinner. But by grace, in faith in Christ. Christ saved me. Give me a new way. Give me a new life. That means there's some things about me that's different. God changed me. Behold, all things become new. We ought to think about that. If we really want to be blessed, not in the counsel of the ungodly, and we're not in the way of the sinner.
That's a hard thing to do in this day. Got all these things to do, all these places to go, got all these events to do. We got all these things to take care of at home. Well, we really have no time to get in the way of God. To really seek after God and do the things of God. I'm talking to myself here too, people. I fail on a daily measure. On a daily basis, I fail. Because if you look at the second verse here, it says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night." That seems to me that I ought to be diligently thinking about, meditating about, praying about things of God every day, throughout the day, every hour, every minute. That ought to be the number one thing that's on my mind all time of the day. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. It doesn't go back to where people call the Mosaic law. That does not go back to the Mosaic law, although it is included in. But whenever it says right here, where it says that the law of the Lord, right here is the law of the Lord, right here, his word. He says it's the law. It cannot be changed. It cannot be broken down. It will forever stand. His word. If you're a child of God, I can honestly say that I get kind of excited when I see the man of God preaching and getting on things of the Word of God. I kind of get something stirred up in me. Sometimes it's kind of hard for me to show it outwardly. Sometimes, though, it comes out outwardly. But sometimes, most of the time, a lot of times it's bottled up inside. And sometimes you just want to jump and shout and thank you, God, for what you've done for me. There's a delight in the law of God. There's a delight in the Word of God. There's delight in the things of God. You enjoy those things. Hey, I don't come to church just because I want to come see Brother Danny or see Brother Todd or see Miss Brenda and them. I come to church because that's what God wants me to be. I want to be in amongst the like-minded. I want to be in amongst the brethren and the sisters. I want to be in it. There's a desire for that. There's a delight in that. There's a delight in the Word of God, hearing preaching, singing praises. I mean, sometimes I'll be in the bathroom just taking a shower, whatever. I'll be singing in the shower. Thank you, God, for being so good to me. There is delight in His law. There's just, not only in His law, but in that law there's also life. Because of the life I have in me, and the life that I have been given, it's a gift. Son, there's delight in that. Well, to think about that. Well, really ought to. You get to thinking about how God saved you, how He brought you from where you was to where you are now, how good He's been to you. Son, there ought to be some smiles on that. You know what I'm saying? How good God has really been. I mean, sometimes I honestly don't know how I make the bills sometimes. Yet sometimes all the bills are paid. There's food on the table. There's gas in my car. I can come to the house of God whenever the doors are open. Woo! We ought to be thanking God for that. That's the delight of the righteous is in His law.
Yes.
But it's not a law as if we think of the law down here at the courthouse. The law is His word. Amen. The law is His word. We ought to be really thinking about that, how God has been good to us in His law and His word. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I want to go back for just a minute on verse number 2 right here. Turn with me to Psalms 19, verse number 7. Go right back to that. I hate that I missed that. Lord, help me, forgive me. It says right here, chapter 19, verse number 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Amen. Making wise the simple. I tell you what, I'm a simple man. I really am. Sometimes I thought of myself dumb as a rock. But God, it's amazing to me how God can be so good and show you some different things in your life. You know,
And this is what really what stands out the most to me. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul.
Hey, He's ever working you. He's ever changing you. He's ever growing you.
Whenever you go to that, that's when it comes in verse number 3. It says, it shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruits in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper.
Now, if he's ever converting your soul, if he's ever growing you, if he's ever bringing you to that place where he can bring, whenever his time, he's going to either call you home or we're going to be caught up in the air with him. You're going to be as a tree. How many of you here, which I know there's a great number probably have, how many of you actually planted a tree from a seedling or a shrub and watched that thing grow over years? You know, I've actually got to partake in that here in the past couple of years. I planted a peach tree out back behind my house. When I planted it, it was no more than waist high, a little shrub. You know, I always figured, it's been almost 3 years now. I figured it'd be 5 years before I ever see any fruit. At 2 years, I got to take the first peach off that tree, but I never thought that it'd be any different than what you see down here at the store. But it's a whole lot different. It's sweet. There's a different taste to that. A real tree. I'm not talking about a world-produced something that's mass-produced. It's out there. It's pushed. It's grown. It's seeded. They make hormones or whatever they do with the trees to make them grow faster, produce more. Whatever they do, I don't know. But to be able to get out there, plant a seed, a real seed, a live seed, plant that seed in the ground and watch it come up over time and see a shrub come to be a tree, and then see that tree come up and bear fruit, and to be able to see that fruit, taste that fruit, and have that in your hand and say, there's nothing that I did to do that. That God produced that. There's just that thought right there. And if we have likened about, if you look at the scripture, we are being likened unto a tree. If you look back in the scripture, say, you know, some seed fell on the wayside, on the rocky soil, some fell on good soil. You know, the seed is also likened unto the Word of God. So without the Word of God, in my mindset, without the Word of God, if you see right here where it talks about rivers of water, right here's your water, right here's your sustenance, right here's your way. If there's a way to grow, if there's a way to produce, if there's a way that you can actually be a help or a blessing or get any kind of blessing, you need to be in the Word of God. You need to be drawing from it. And he should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which means, granted, I'm not saying you have to literally walk in this or carry this with you at all times of the day, because sometimes that can be almost impossible. But even at work, I tend to carry the Word of God with me in my pocket. I have a little pocket size, maybe about the size of my palm, that I carry with me. And any time I need a little something, I can draw from it. It's right there with me. Basically, what I'm trying to get at is whenever we plant ourselves in the Word of God, whenever we get ourselves rooted, deep rooted, and I really mean deep rooted. We have to be substantially rooted in this to really get something. You can't just draw on the surface here. There's only one way. You got to dig in, and that's what we ought to do as a church today. But we ought to be digging in and growing. In order for us to produce anything, in order for us to bring forth fruit in any kind of season or any kind of time, we need to dig in, root ourselves in the Word of God. Is that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Something I've come to understand. A peach tree is going to bring forth fruit early in the season. Usually in the late spring, early spring, early summer area, you'll see peaches come to bear. A lot of times you see apples come in a later season, in a cooler season, whenever apples are going to be brought forth. They're also a different kind of region as well. So peaches and apples, granted, are two different things, but still yet there are a tree that's bearing fruit. They come forth in their season, in their time. A persimmon tree, you'll see most of them, those are a cool weather fruit. They're going to come out in a different area of the year. So we ought to be thinking about, if we're likened to a fruit tree, a tree that's going to bear fruit, we ought to be thinking about also our season. Because my season's going to vary compared to your season. I'm going to have a dry spell whenever you're not having a dry spell. There's going to be times where we can draw from one another and be a help and a blessing to others. Which means you ought to really think about it as this is a personalized growth. Whenever I'm growing, you may not be. Whenever I'm bearing, you may not be. Or vice versa. We ought to really be thinking about how and when we're growing, what God can do for us in that time period. Because I've heard our pastor stand up and say, you know, he has it so hard sometimes. There's been times where he's wanted to quit and sit down. There's a lot of times I want to just stand on the wayside. I don't want no part in it. It's hard not to in this day. But we all go through the dry spells. We all go through that. It goes right back to verse number 2. But his delight is in the law. When we get in those dry spells, that doesn't mean that we ought to stop growing. We ought to stop seeking, or we ought to stop digging in. That should be the time when we're digging deeper. We're going further. We're actually trying to get to those waters. I can't say for everybody when their dry spell is. I can only say for myself. But I can also say, I know from seeing sometimes people walk in the door that's had smiles on their faces, ready to go. I've seen them walk in that door also with frowns on their face and just like a heavy burden. Sometimes we go through that. That's a natural part of life. You can't stay on the mountaintop all the time. Sometimes you're in the valley. That's just the way things are. Either way, still got, like Brother John saying, still God in the mountain, still God in the valley. He's still there. His word is there, is never changing. We should be digging in a whole lot deeper.
Right.
I can honestly say there's some times where it gets in the dry spell where I just kind of stop digging. I kind of stop rooting myself. I stop seeking God. I try to wonder, when is this dry spell ever going to end? When is this time period that I'm not, when am I going to be able to bear fruit again? Because it seems to me whenever I'm bearing fruit, oh son, that's so sweet. Just the joy and the peace, all that just coming about.
But here where it says it brings forth his fruit in his season.
There's a time and a place for everything. I have no judgment on it. I have no say-so on it. God is the one that has rule over that. God knows where you're at. Sometimes it's my fault I'm not where I ought to be. Well, I shouldn't say sometimes, a lot of times. About all the time it's my fault. I'm not as grown as I ought to be. I don't bear as much fruit as I ought to. Sometimes I don't bear any fruit. Can I blame anybody but myself? That's the first man. Second man, that does not go to say, let me say this before I go on. That does not go to say that a man that's righteous and holy, walks in God, seeks after God, that does not mean that there's not going to be any hard times, there's not going to be any hardships or any times of woe and discourse and heartfelt just trouble. Although there is blessed assurance, there's blessings poured out every day, and we ought to look to God and thank Him for it. Verse number 4, it says, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor the sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Verse number 4 says, the ungodly are not so. In other words, they don't have the desires that we have. They don't look after themselves in the same manner that we do. When I say that, they don't care anything for spiritual things. They're more of a, how am I going to do this? Or what can I do? Or how can I? There's a lot of selfishness in that. There's a lot of materialistic desires. There's a lot of materialistic worship, so to speak. There's no real desire to see God. And you can probably test this out on yourself. You go out here to the mall or wherever you want to go, and you can start talking to somebody about how good God's been and all that. Sometimes they'll just shut you down and walk away. That's because they have no desire for it. There is nothing in them that draws them to that. That's why it says the ungodly. They're the direct opposite of you. They don't want nothing to do with you. And it's not necessarily just you, but that which is in you. The Bible says, if I'm correct in saying so, God said that they hate me, they will also hate you. Christ Himself said that. It makes me, within myself at least, it makes me really hurt to see the world the way it is today and see how ungodly and how unrighteous some things are. And it ought to be a driving desire within me to bring forth some fruit that I might get out there and do the work of God more often and do what I ought to more often. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. Those that are born again, those that are washed in blood, they can stand in judgment. They will stand in judgment. Not because of themselves, not because of something they wrought, not because of something they did. Because of the blood that Christ gave. Because of the good blood that you've been washed in. You've been made clean. He is your intercessor. He says, they're paid. Their dues are paid. And whenever the unrighteous stand before God, they cannot say that. They're not going to be able to stand. They're not going to be able to go. They're not going to be able to do anything. All He's going to do is say, judgment, hellfire. That's it. It's done and over with. The ungodly is the direct opposite of everything we've come to know and love in the church house today. And I'm telling you, that ungodly number, that is growing ever more every day. And the righteous number is shrinking ever more every day. Also, sinners in the congregation of the righteous. I don't know if a lot of you have really heard the message where Brother Milby's preached to wolves in the church. If you haven't heard that, you ought to really listen to it. It's on Sermon Audio. A lot of times, there's going to be some ways of knowing some things as far as sinners in the congregation. You'll know it amongst them. The Bible says they're going to sneak in unawares. It scares me in this day. It really does. The possibility of somebody walking in that door to come in here to hear the Word of God, and the likelihood, and this is basically a few years down the road, that there may not be a true man of God standing behind that pulpit. That frightens me. Because there's a great number of churches now you can go to, there's not a man behind, not a man of God behind the pulpit. He's not preaching the truth. You got nothing but a congregation full of sinners, lost and dying, going to hell, and there's no real life there. There's no way of anything coming about. There's nothing but a congregation of sinners, and they're not going to stand before God as a saved, born-again Christian, but they're going to be standing before God in judgment. We ought to be weeping. We ought to be praying. We ought to be seeking. And this is, granted, this scripture, I know this is off course a little bit here, but the more I stand, the more I work, the more I go out every day, the more I see that I ought to be praying more so for them that I come in contact with, that they might see God in me. More of a burden on me, everything that I see, just it wrenches my heart. It really does. And I don't know what to do. I really need the help and the touch of God. I really need it. But it goes right straight here to verse number 6, where the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous.
He knows. He can see the intent of every person's heart. He can go through every one of our minds and see every little thing that we think about, dream about, wonder about, desire to see come to pass. He can see every little thing. And yet sometimes we still try and get to where we hide things. And yet the Scripture plainly says that before the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. So if He can know the righteous, He can know the ungodly, He can know their ways, He can know their thoughts, He can know your thoughts, He can know anything and everything that there is to know. And yet sometimes we sit there and act as if He doesn't really know. I realize that that's off key a little bit, but it's a lot of what I've already said has already come way off course of what I had in mind to teach. I just have an earnest desire to really seek God. Really desire to seek God in our church, in our life. And we have a painted picture here of two ways. Granted, you got two verses in the Scripture where it says, narrow is the way that leadeth unto life and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction. There's two ways, two men. There's another way to look at it. There's two ways, two men. God is the way, the truth, the life. And yet, here we are sitting in the pews, in a nice padded pew. We've got heat on our baseboards over here. And sometimes we sit there and say, I'm not going to go talk to them. Well, I'm not going to live that way except when I go to church. Too often we get in that way. Too often do we walk in the church house saying, well, I'm God's person. I'm God's man. I'm God's lady. Too often we come and sit down in the pew and then when we walk out the door again, that's it. There's nothing more. God knows the way of the righteous. God knows the way ungodly. God knows what we need, what we do not need. God really knows what we have a true need for. And sometimes we don't acknowledge that need. We need Him. Pure and simple. The first three verses are nothing but, hey, we need Him. We need to seek Him. We want a blessing. We say that all the time. We need to seek Him. We want to go into the ungodly way, the sinner's way, stand in it and walk in their way and do their thing. We're not going to get a blessing. We're going to have nothing but a heartache and discourse in our life. I just like how the world looks at this right here, verse number 3, where it says, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. They take it as, hey, if I do anything according to Scripture, I'm going to get money. I'm going to prosper in my life. Everything's going to be great. I'm going to have a big house. I'm sorry. I want a spiritual blessing. I want God to come and touch me and help me. That's a blessing to me. That's prosperity right there, to have the hand of God to move and the hand of God really move. I'm talking really move in amongst our congregation. Do we really want that? Are we just content in sitting here and going to the house every Sunday evening and going to the house and doing our thing? I don't know about y'all, but I want to be like this blessed man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. I want to seek His law. I want to get in His way. I want to walk His way. I want to do His thing. I want Him. And I know, without a doubt, He's coming again. Amen. I know within myself that God Himself is coming for me. For me only. I'm going to close with this. Romans number 13, verse number 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first, or when we believe.
We're going home soon. Any Christian, any man of God, any person can look out that door and see the way this world is and see we're going home soon. Whether it be in my lifetime or not, I don't know. But I'm going to be looking up to Him either way. I'm going to trust Him to meet my needs. I'm going to look to Him to meet all things. If I ever desire to have a blessing, if I ever need a blessing, it's going to be coming from Him. I don't need to worry about walking out here and asking Joe Blow or Dr. Bible Stopper or anything out here on the street corner or whatever. They can't help me. But God. Father, this morning I thank You, Lord, for Your Word. I thank You for the ability, Lord, to stand and do that which You'd ever have me to do. I do pray, ask You, Lord, to please move in the midst of our congregation this morning. We need Your touch. I need Your touch, dear Lord. I need Your help. I had so many thoughts I would like to have brought forth this morning, but God, I wish whatever You would have said or done. My desire, my earnest desire, Lord, is to see this church alive for God, moving for God, Lord, to see this church, Lord, continue growing. Lord, that Your will be accomplished and Your name be magnified. We need Your touch in this day, Lord. Help us to stand, Lord, and do those things which would honor Thee. Help us to be mindful of Thee, Lord, in Your presence, dear God. Help us to, Lord, move when You say move. And, Lord, do those things which would bring honor and glory to Your name. God, we need You this morning. We need You every day, every morning. But, Lord, certainly this morning I do pray and ask You, Lord, that I be not by myself, Lord, that there not be just me, Lord. I know, God, that this morning there's others here. The Lord comes seeking You. I do pray and ask You, Lord, move in the midst. And we'll certainly thank You and praise You for what You do. For it is in Christ we do pray. Amen.